Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. On Thursday and Friday this week, we will air an interview with John Lofton, the editor of the American View, and what a fascinating topic. 2 years ago, he exposed that there was false information being reported by Christian pro-lifers, including Lynn Vincent of World Magazine, and Steve Urtel of LifeNews.com. And so John Lofton and I will talk through this entire case where Stephen Urtel reported that President George W. Bush had renominated 20 pro-life judges. And it turns out that he fabricated that story, that designation that these judges are pro-life. And he never provided any evidence that they were pro-life. And in fact, we are certain we could demonstrate that many of them are not pro-life and others, their records are not known. Lynn Vincent of WorldNet Daily picked up that story and ran almost verbatim that Bush renominated 20 pro-life justices. And so John Lofton at the time made an extraordinary effort to try to get World Magazine, their publisher Joel Bells, to print a retraction or a correction or a clarification, and they utterly refused. And so that story was picked up by American Family Association, and in fact 135 times on the internet, Christian groups picking up this George Bush has renominated 20 pro-life judges. And we know in fact that many of those judges do not believe that the unborn child is a person who has a God-given right to life. They don't believe that. And so the story was not true, and that's the climate in which some pro-life organizations like Colorado Right to Life, American Life League, Human Life International, Operation Rescue, Flip Benham, some pro-life organizations are operating in this climate where there is intentional fabrication and misreporting. For what purpose? Well, it all does have one obvious goal in mind, to make Republicans look more Christian and more pro-life than they actually are. So that's one goal that we could identify. There may be other reasons, but I'm not up for psychoanalyzing these people. So that show, in fact, it'll be over Thursday and Friday, will be fascinating. Now, Janet Folger, Faith to Action, you may have heard of Janet Folger. She has a column out today on WorldNet Daily. This is the fifth column against what Colorado Right to Life, Denver Bible Church, Bob Enyart Live, what our coalition has been doing, the fifth article or column in WorldNet Daily since, I believe, June 7th. And so here, for example, Tom Minery wrote back on June 7th, that we were wrong to criticize this ruling and say it would not save a single life. And so he published that in WorldNet Daily, Tom Minery, VP of Focus on the Family, and that was 4 days before his boss, Dr. Dobson, because of our open letters to him and the pro-life community, admitted that ending partial birth abortion would not save a single human life. So we are getting that admission from more and more pro-life leaders who are opposed to us, but we, like Alan Keyes did this Sunday, he wrote this extraordinary column and called this ruling, this partial birth abortion ruling, the bad fruit of the pro-life movement. Bad fruit because it's an evil ruling, because it authorizes the brutal killing of unborn children. So he called it bad fruit. It was pretty cool. Well, now, Janet Folger has this column out today, and it's titled One Seat Away from Victory. And I wondered, what does that have to do about this ruling? Well, listen to how she opens. While pro-lifers bicker about whether the partial birth abortion ban was strong enough. Now, right there, we've said all along that those who disagree with us, they are simply ignoring our argument, and either they don't understand it because they've never read our open letters, because they don't read our press releases, they simply prefer to ignore what we're saying. That could be. On the other hand, they may not have an answer to our argument, and therefore they obfuscate. We are not saying that the partial birth abortion ban was not strong enough. We are saying that it is immoral. The strategy is immoral. The strategy violates God's enduring command, do not murder. We don't have the authority to regulate the killing of children by saying you can't kill the baby if you pull him out to the neck. If you pull him out past the belly button, you can't kill him. We don't have that authority, and since we're doing something that's immoral, things that are immoral tend to backfire against the intentions of the otherwise well-minded. And so how this backfires is abortion begins to look better to the general public and to the government, and even late-term abortion. And that's why Anthony Kennedy, as he said repeatedly in this ruling, that's what he did. He is improving the public perception of late-term abortion. And so when you violate God's command, when you dishonor God, you do things the ends don't justify the means, and you have a goal, and you destroy the chance of achieving your goal in a timely way because you've dishonored God in the process. Okay, so she says, while pro-lifers bicker about whether the partial birth abortion ban was strong enough, what does that even mean? We're not saying we absolutely want to make sure that the abortionist pulls the baby out to the belly button before killing him. We're not saying that. We're not saying we absolutely want to make sure the abortionist kills the baby before he starts removing the baby. We don't want a strong partial birth abortion ban. We want the pro-life movement to only do things that honor God and, in a pro-life sense, reinforce the personhood and God-given right of the unborn child. That's what we want. That's our criticism, that the other side has become, they've become secular humanists. So she said, pro-lifers are bickering about whether the partial birth abortion ban was strong enough. Let me settle the debate. It wasn't. Will it protect many children? Now, did she write that by accident, or was that finessing it? Will it protect many children? She wrote, it won't. Well, Dr. Dobson has already conceded it won't save one human life. Many Christian leaders have now conceded to our open letters that this won't save one child. It's a law, the Partial Birth Abortion Ban Act. It's a law. Laws supposedly have authority. They call for enforcement. There is no authority in this law or this ban to save a single child. So will it protect many children? It won't. She is implying to ignorant readers that it's going to save some children, but just not many. So that's disingenuous. And Janet Folger is well enough informed that she should realize that. She writes, I could join in their criticism because I don't think, to use Justice Kennedy's words, he wrote the ruling, quote, ripping apart children is any better than sucking out their brains when they're halfway born. So she's saying, hey, this ruling is pretty gruesome, and I don't think ripping apart children is better than partial birth abortion. And she's right. But she writes, but here's the good news. Here's the good news. We are now exactly one seat away from reversing this horrific injustice. Roe v. Wade. And, huh? What does 15 years of a misguided effort have about trying to ban a technique? You can't gas the Jews with Zyklon A. We want you to use Zyklon B. What would that have to do with us being one justice away from reversing Roe v. Wade? How do those two things connect? They do not connect. And our justices who have said they want to reverse Roe v. Wade, they've also said that a woman has a right to kill her unborn child as long as the states follow the process. So that's not pro-life. And our justices believe that partly because of 30 years of the pro-life movement destroying the personhood of the child for their short-sighted and immoral strategy of regulating child killing. So Janet Folger, you know, some years ago I interviewed her at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention. It was right when we had invaded Afghanistan. I mean, it was right then. After September 11th, we're in Afghanistan. And I ask her, and I say, you know, her name is Folger, like the coffee. The best part of waking up is Folgers in your cup. So I just told her a little joke. She's probably had jokes about her name 1,000 times. It's probably irritating. And I thought about that. But we had just invaded Afghanistan. And we were the good guys, liberating people from the Taliban. So I said, Janet, you know, with all the current events, the best part of waking up is soldiers in your hut. If you're in Afghanistan, you know, saved from the Taliban. And she didn't think it was funny. I thought it was sort of funny. Anyway, okay. So she says pro-lifers are bickering. Well, I wouldn't call it bickering. Some Christians have expressed concern that we, the signers of the open letter, have violated the principles in the New Testament, including the Lord's teaching in Matthew 18, because we did not attempt to reach Dr. Dobson personally. We didn't give him sufficient time to respond. We didn't go through the Matthew 18 process. That's what Christians have said. Even yesterday, a number who've called in to Gino Geraci's show on KRKS, 94.7 in the afternoon. And so let's talk through that. First, we didn't go personally to Dr. Dobson. Well, first of all, Dr. Dobson runs a $150 million a year enterprise, and he has worldwide celebrity status. When he speaks, the New York Times reports on it. And as such, understandably, very few Christians, even Christian leaders, can pick up the phone and talk to Dr. Dobson. And that makes sense, because millions would like to talk to him, and he's one person. Moses couldn't do it. Dr. Dobson can't do it. You can't talk to everybody who likes you or the people who want to confront you. You can't do it. But if Dr. Dobson or any leader makes public statements that are untrue, there is no biblical requirement that a correction must first be private. That's false. But regardless of that, the signers of these open letters, we have published our letter only after an intensive 2-year effort to reach Dr. Dobson personally. And by the way, it worked. He has responded to our concerns personally. And we have been warning him about the partial birth abortion travesty. On June 29th, 2005, that's 2 years ago on Friday, we sent 4 men to Focus on the Family headquarters, and they presented a lengthy warning in person, meeting with James Dobson's VP of Public Policy, Tom Minery, and with Dr. Dobson's judicial analysts. One result of this meeting was another meeting with a Focus staff lawyer, his name is James Odom, at the private club called the El Paso Club down in the Springs. And James characterized that meeting as private, but during that meeting, we urgently addressed our concerns regarding his employer, that Dr. Dobson has taken up a secular humanist worldview and is defending and advocating laws and rulings that violate do not murder. And we as Christians should know that that is wrong. We don't have the authority to do that, and it will backfire on the innocent. Okay. Another result of our meeting with Tom Minery was a personal letter written by Tom suggesting, he addressed it to me, and he suggested that perhaps he would invite our group back to Focus on the Family to present our concerns at another gathering of staff. Now, I recall when we got that letter and how we assessed it, but I won't get into that. By the way, this attorney, James Odom, husband and father of 3, He moved to Colorado 5 years ago to work for Dr. Dobson. He was fired by Focus on the Family the week that our open letter was published. And as best we can discern, and with talking to Mr. Odom, he was fired primarily because of his brief interaction with the signers of the open letter. And in that interaction, James Odom was being loyal to his employer, and he urged us to delay our open letter or reconsider publication altogether. He's thinking, you guys may have some good points here, but this is not the right way to go. Please don't publish this letter. At least delay it. Okay, so he got fired for that, and I'm sure Tom Minery at Focus on the Family would say for other reasons, but he got fired the week of our open letter, and that's basically why. Also, oh, and by the way, he is looking for work, and he's a wonderful Christian attorney. So if you know any companies that need an attorney and would like one who takes a biblical approach to dealing with legal matters for his clients, well, then please consider, you could contact us at Bob and Yart Live, 1-800-8-N-YART. That's 1-800-836-9278, and we'd be happy to put you in touch with James. Okay. And a far less confrontational open letter to Dr. Dobson was published almost exactly 2 years prior to the second letter, warning, you know, they say history repeats itself. That's sort of like what's happening. This has been a 2 year cycle. Warning, Focus on the Family, that, now I'll quote from our first open letter from 2 years earlier, today's abortionists simply use a different method on late term babies, that is, other than partial birth abortion, and that a partial birth abortion ban will, quote, not cancel a single abortion as a result, unquote. So we've been saying this for years and years and years and years. Also, on May 15th, 2007, now that's fast forward 2 years, we sent three Federal Express letters to Focus on the Family, one to President Jim Daly, another to Focus Institute President Del Tackett, and the third to Dr. Dobson, offering them a chance to discuss the matter with us prior to publication. The cover letter stated, we plan to run the enclosed open letter as a full-page ad in a Colorado newspaper. So the cover letter to these three men, we say we plan to run this enclosed open letter as a full-page ad in a Colorado newspaper and a condensed version in a national Christian magazine signed by pro-life ministries, including American Life League, Operation Save America, Operation Rescue, Denver Bible Church, and Colorado Right to Life. If you would like to discuss this with us before publication, please call Bob Enyart of Denver Bible Church or Brian Rohrbaugh of Colorado Right to Life. And of course, they could have called any of the signers of the open letter. Focus never called. They did not call Colorado Right to Life. They did not even call one of the signers, the longtime stalwart of the pro-life movement, Judy Brown at American Life League. They didn't even call Judy. Okay, so we are criticized widely by Christians who don't even first ask for the facts. They just launch judgment and criticism. And they are doing, in fact, exactly what the Lord said don't do. Don't judge by outward appearance. Judge with righteous judgment. So let me continue with the way we respond to Christians who say we violated the Matthew 18 principles of how to confront a believer. Any reader of the open letter, of those who criticize us because of this open letter, most of them would prefer not to read it, including, we now know, many of the top management at Focus on the Family did not read the letter. Any reader of the open letter can see our prior efforts to reach Dr. Dobson. It's throughout the letter. And the letter even quotes from his own personal correspondence addressing our concerns, showing that we have, in fact, already reached him personally. Dr. Dobson wrote personally, probably because a letter was that he was replying to was mailed to his home address. And on Focus on the Family letterhead, and including a handwritten note, which, by the way, you can see all this in the DVD, 40 Years in the Wilderness. It's put out by Colorado Right to Life. You can get it on our website, kgov.com, at our store, kgov, kgov.com, or you could get it by calling us at 800-8-NYARTS. That's 1-800-836-9278. While you're at it, you could ask for our catalog. It's $20 for a DVD. No, it's $15. $15 for a DVD, $3 for $20, and $20 for $100. You see how it's priced? It's priced for people to buy them in quantity and share them. And it's so neat when we get orders for $20, $40, $100. So if you can, please consider ordering at least three, and $20 is preferable. Every Sunday school teacher, every pro-lifer you know, one to every Christian family. Okay, so this letter that was written personally by Dr. Dobson is documented in our DVD. It's also on our websites where we've scanned the letter and you could see the letter online. And on Focus on the Family letterhead, and including a handwritten note, which is shown in our DVD, 40 Years in the Wilderness, on February 24th, 2006, Dr. Dobson responded to, and now I'll quote from his letter, to kgov.com questions. Now, kgov.com, that's our website for Bob and Yart Live. And he actually defended, in this letter, he defended decisions of judges who rule to kill the innocent, as long as they are following precedent. And that is devastating. And this is what Janet Folger calls bickering. She calls this bickering. While pro-lifers bicker, we're not bickering. We are saying that the body of Christ has turned to secular humanism, and they have relegated God's command, do not murder, to a negotiable second-tier concern. Even our own founding documents identify the right to life as inalienable. You know what inalienable means? I'm not going to tell you, because you probably went to public school. You probably don't know. So look it up. Inalienable. But when our pro-life leaders, when they attempt to achieve some political victory or whatever goal they say they have in mind, and they support a ruling that says you can kill innocent children this way, they are violating the inalienable right to life that God has given us. They're violating that. And when they craft laws that say you could kill a child this way but not that way, they are violating the inalienable right to life that God has given us, and they don't have the authority to do that. And that's not bickering. That is battling for the preservation of a Christian worldview in a body of Christ in America that is sliding into moral relativism and legal positivism and humanism. Okay, so Dr. Dobson writes that he defends judges who rule to kill the innocent as long as they're following precedent. That any Christian leader would embrace such moral relativism is grievous. That James Dobson has done so is devastating, beyond words. If this tragic development does not distress any particular Christian, then no defense of the form of our criticism will matter. What will it matter? We used open letters. So did the Apostle Paul. Used open letters. That's what the epistles are. The epistles are open letters. And do you know, in the tradition of Paul's epistles, which are open letters, some of which publicly rebuke individual believers, even by name, and even including renowned leaders like Barnabas and Peter in Galatians 2. We have written our open letters in hopes of restoring our brother. So please pray for us and for Dr. Dobson. Now, if this tragic development, let me say it again, if it does not distress you that Christian leaders are becoming secular humanists in their worldview, then no defense of the form of our criticism will matter. It won't matter. In the year 2000, federal judge Samuel Alito voted to keep partial birth abortion legal in New Jersey. Now, Dr. Dobson, along with Family Research Council's Gary Bauer and many others, you could see our 40 years DVD, commended him. They commended Samuel Alito for ruling to keep partial birth abortion legal. They praised him. They complimented him for that. And their reasoning, Dr. Dobson wrote that Alito was merely following the long-established principle of precedent. But there is an older legal precedent than you could kill the baby. There's an older legal precedent than that. Now, Alito chose to follow you can kill the baby. That's the precedent he followed. That's the precedent James Dobson is defending. You can kill the baby. He's defending judges following that precedent. But there is an older legal precedent. It is thou shalt not murder. Over the years, the pro-life movement has slid to where it now advocates the legal theory of the defendants at Nuremberg, that following precedent justifies rulings to murder the innocent. You cannot force any individual to honor God, of course not, but you can provide leadership and you can show the difference. And Jesus Christ said, I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword to divide. And we are demonstrating that there is alternative leadership in the pro-life movement. And as this pro-life activist in Idaho sent us an email yesterday saying, I emailed 100 of my pro-life activist friends and leaders, and I told them I have joined, my family and I have joined Colorado Right to Life. Please join Colorado Right to Life. Because they are demonstrating leadership that does not dishonor God. And that's what's at stake, the morality of the body of Christ. Hey, kgov.com is our website, and Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada. What a great school.